You have in your bulletin an outline to follow, and you know that we are working on what does it mean to be saved? What is the gospel? We looked at that last week, and we saw that there were some people who have other ideas, and we want to look at those ideas. If they're in the Bible, we want to believe them. If they're not, we want to know what it is. The simple salvation works. That's all there is to it. And you want to do more. You want to say, and you have to do this and this, and you have to come back to church. No, no, none of that. You know, you have to believe. If you believe, you have eternal life. Now, the section this morning we're going to talk about is repentance. One of the hardest things to get through. I lost a family here, as Jim remembers. And when we talked about repentance and said, no, not necessary for salvation, they left in a huff. And when they asked for their letter, they wrote, to whom it may concern. Former student of mine, I mean, friend. Well, anyway, it hurts. A lot of people are very serious about some of the things, some of the traditions that we've added to the gospel. And we want to find out what they are and avoid them at all costs. There were two men who were hired to paint a church. They went to a place to get the paint. They agreed on a price. They went to get the paint. The paint was high. And the guy said, I know what we can do. We can thin the paint down with water. And so they did that, and they saved a lot of money on their bill. And so they were really thinking they were doing very well. And they got near the end of the paint job, and it began to rain. And thunder and lightning and rain. And as they looked around the corner to get their job, the paint was running off. It had they thinned it too much. And then out of the sky, out of one of those thunder clouds, came a voice. Repaint and thin no more. Well, that's what the Bible tells us to do. Repent and sin no more. And so we want to look at that repentance. Does that mean that we have to repent in order to be saved? Well, I'm going to start off those statements that you have in your bulletin. Statements about biblical repentance. And remember, we're talking about biblical repentance. What does the Bible say? And here they are. I'm going to give them to you in the front, and when I get finished, I'm going to give them to you back there. There's more to it. We'll have to come do that next week, but this is basically what I want to say. First, biblical repentance is the decision to turn from sin to avoid and to order to bring to an end God's temporal judgment. Therefore, it is in no way a condition for eternal life. Okay, that's the first one. Secondly, both saved and unsaved may be called upon to repent. That repentance will result in avoidance or termination of God's temporal judgment. With the saved, repentance will also bring forgiveness of sin in the question that is followed and will bring fellowship with God. And with the unsaved, repentance will not bring forgiveness or fellowship with God because God can't fellowship with someone who's not holy through believing on Jesus Christ. So that's what I found in Scripture about repentance. Now, I want you to just follow my thinking, and it's not mine originally. I had a lot of help. I've read a lot of books to find out what are people saying, and then I went to see if what they're saying is what the Bible says. And so I depend very much on the book Harmony with God by Zane Hodges in this. All right, first of all, Nineveh. Nineveh is, of course, in Jonah. Jonah preached to Nineveh in the Old Testament, and he had a message of repentance. His call was, and we don't need to go to the book to find it and read all that, but I'm going to mention a few things. Jonah's call was, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. That's Jonah's call, go to Nineveh. And remember, Jonah disobeyed. He got on a ship going down to Joppa, and the storm came up, and finally they threw him overboard, and he swallowed a whale. No, he swallowed a whale. He swallowed a whale, a lot of pride, and went on and did the job that God had for him to do. But all of that is in the book of Jonah, and that's what he was called to do. His message was, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's the message. This was a heathen city. It wasn't a Jewish city. It's the head of Assyria, the capital of Assyria. And they were told, you had better repent or you will be overthrown. Now the result was that they repented. And here's what it says. The word came down to everybody. For the word, first of all, went up. All the people from the least to the greatest began to repent because they didn't want to be overthrown, to be destroyed, and killed in the process. But then the head came out with it and said, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. They're fasting, in other words. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away the fierce anger that we perish not? See? So what he's saying is, if we repent, then God will relent, is what he's after. Now, notice some things about that. First, God accepted their repentance and did not overthrow Nineveh. And much to Jonah's chagrin. Jonah, you know, there's not much to pass the time in those days. You know, now you get on TV, you watch all kind of stuff. Not then. Way back in my day, it wasn't that much either. But Jonah had nothing to entertain him. And he thought, I'm going to see some fireworks here today. And so he went up and, you know, sat down and waited. I'm going to watch this happen. And, okay, go, God, go get him. Nothing happened because they had repented. And his message was, yet 40 days and Nineveh is going to be destroyed. What does that put to him? But that destroyed him. Well, what kind of a prophet are you? God didn't do that. God relented when they repented. So God accepted it. But there's no indication that these people became proselytes of Judaism. Nothing that they were saved. They simply repented, and God didn't destroy their city at that time. 100 years later comes Nahum, and Nahum gave a similar message. They didn't repent then, and when they didn't repent, God destroyed the city, and Nineveh did get destroyed. But salvation was not included in Jonah's message. All it was, you repent. If you don't repent, I'm going to destroy you. They repented. God did not destroy them. So, what I'm saying is, don't expect to see these people in heaven. Repentance does not bring eternal life. There may be some. There may have been some there who did repent, did believe on God, the God of Jonah. It's possible. But that wasn't a part of the message, and the majority of them did not. They didn't know what to do except to stop doing their evil things. And repentance is not a condition for eternal life. So it doesn't bring eternal life. It's not a condition for eternal life. All right, that's Nineveh. Now we come to Israel. John the Baptist called Israel to repentance. Remember, John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus, 6 months older than Jesus. In Zechariah's prophecy, in Luke 1:76, he says, Zechariah, remember, is John's father. And he says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord and prepare his ways to give knowledge of salvation to his people. Not salvation, knowledge of salvation to his people. And so he dressed in camel hair like Elijah, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He didn't go into the temple to baptize and to preach. He was in the wilderness, out in the near the Jordan River. And there he was baptizing. And people went out to him. You know, Jordan is not a great place to be baptized. It's a dirty old river, you know. And yet they were going out there. I baptized there myself. We had a group there to Israel, and they wanted to be baptized. So we went out to the Jordan River, found a place, and baptized them. This one girl was saved at Calvary. She was an unsaved girl. And she went to Calvary, and there she stood, saw Calvary, and she saw the tomb. She believed. She received eternal life. And then she wanted to be baptized in Jordan. And I thought, boy, if anybody's saved, that gal's saved. You believe at Calvary and you're baptized in the Jordan, you must be saved. You know, but that's not a great river. And John was out there saying, come on out here and I'll dunk you into this dirty river. And his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Nothing about salvation there. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you suppose they knew what repent was? Do you think they knew about Jonah and Nineveh? Repent. He's talking to the nation. Repent of your sin. Paul gives a good summary of John the Baptist's ministry. He said in Acts 19 and verse 4, then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him. So did John offer salvation? No. He offered baptism, repentance, forgiveness of the national sin. And then later on, he said, when Jesus comes, believe on him, and you'll have eternal life. Now, the result was in Matthew 3, 5, and 6. The people went out. Oh, they went out in droves. In fact, the scripture says that in Matthew 3, then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So he was saying, repent and be baptized. They came out there, they confessed their sins and were baptized. But a certain group went out. The Pharisees and the Sadducees went out there too. And they saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to the baptism. And they said to them, you bunch of snakes, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You know, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. He thought their repentance is not genuine. Why don't you do some works of repentance? See, I wonder sometimes, what if they had done the works of repentance? Do you remember what they are? Here they are. They said, what are the works of repentance? He said, well, if you have, give one away to somebody that needs it. If you have extra food, share with somebody. If you're a tax collector, don't collect any more tax than you should. Well, what do you mean? Well, see, the tax collector had a certain area, certain region. He had to give so much to the Roman government for that group. He could collect as much as he wanted. And Roman soldiers would go with him and collect the money for him, help him collect it. So he can go in and knock on the door. Hey, see, they're supposed to give $10. I want $100. And they had to give it. And he put the $90 in his pocket, $100. That's why the tax collectors were so hated. And so John says, be repentant. What are the fruit of repentance? One of yours is, don't collect any more than is lawful. Soldiers said, what shall we do? Well, then do your job. Do it right. And don't complain about your pay. That would be a great thing to do. And suppose everybody had done that. See, all those people went out there and they were baptized confessing their sin, but they didn't necessarily have the fruit of repentance, and many of them weren't even serious. See? But later on, you know, when Jesus died, do you know how many people were saved? All we know about is 500. 500 people. He was seen of over 500 people. Day of Pentecost, 3,000. And a little later on, they had 5,000. You know? So very much went on. But these people, all Judea and Jerusalem went out to see him. They confessed their sins. They were baptized, the baptism of repentance. And then they were to go on. And that's why John said to his disciples, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the one. I'm pointing to him. Believe on him and you'll have eternal life. So, the promise of salvation came through the one coming after me, he said. The one who comes after me. John didn't offer salvation. He offered preparation for salvation, but not salvation. You see, it's one thing to say, repentance facilitates faith in Christ for eternal life. That's one thing to say that. The Bible teaches that. It's another thing to say, repentance is a requirement for eternal life. The Bible does not teach that. But, no. the judgment is predicted. See, if they didn't repent, comes the judgment. That's what he said with Nineveh, remember? Either repent or I'm going to destroy your city. The judgment with them was given later. Judgment is predicted. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. And he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I hear people saying, oh, I want the Holy Spirit and fire. No, you don't. No, the Holy Spirit is fine, but not fire. The fire is judgment. He's going to baptize with Holy Spirit and fire. The ones who believe will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Those who do not believe, they're going to be judged with fire. He goes on to say, his winnowing fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly clean out this threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There's the fire. See? So there's the judgment that's coming. The nation is going to be judged with unquenchable fire. Now, so fire is good, but fire is also bad. Fire is not good. Fire is bad. He'll burn up the chaff. See, this is the judgment that is just ahead for the nation Israel. In 70 AD, it came. But Jesus specified it when he said, this is Matthew 24, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. See? The judgment. Israel is going to be judged. John calls, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If they fail to repent, well, let me say it the other way. If they repent, if they go on and believe on Jesus, they have eternal life. And the Holy Spirit will come the day of Pentecost. But if they do not repent, and the nation did not, and the leaders spoke for the nation, and therefore one stone upon another was going to be cast down, and Israel, Jerusalem was going to be destroyed, and it was in AD 70. So they had rejected the prophets for at least the last 400 years, but Israel never was obedient to God for any length of time. A little bit here, and then all of a sudden they go off, and they come back in, they go off, and they never really followed the Lord. And so then this 400 years of God's silence, and he comes with John the Baptist to tell them, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the judgment is going to come to this nation. So Jesus tells them, if they believe on Jesus, they'll have eternal life. And they'll be spared from that temporal physical punishment, which is what this is all about. Yeah. So now Jesus pronounced in another section, that is in another section in Luke, Jesus speaks about repentance. And this is the one that people turn to. You ask them, do you have to be repent? Do you have to repent in order to be saved? They'll turn to Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, or the same verse. They say the same thing. And they'll read, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Therefore, you have to repent in order to be saved. Boy, that sounds like it very good on the surface. In fact, we got a tract that had, it was F-A-I-T-H. It's the thing that people slept with it under their pillow. So sacrosanct that you had to use this way, this F-A-I-T-H, in order to lead people to the Lord. Well, in there, they used this section to prove you have to repent in order to be saved. And I did a whole big thing. I took it point by point and told them what was wrong with it. And I think I sent it to them. In any case, in a later version, it came out without that verse. They used another verse incorrectly as well. But they somehow got hold of that, maybe from me. In any case, here's what it says. I'll read the passage. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. In other words, they were offering sacrifices, and Pilate killed them, and their blood was mingled all together. In other words, they were murdered. That's all he's saying. Pilate killed these people. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? Because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Again, verse 4. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell, and were killed. Do you think that they were worse sinners than the other men in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now, question. Pardon me for saying this, but if you're going to understand the Bible, you have to think. You have to think. What does it say? These people died. How did they die? Physically. They died physically. Pilate killed them physically. The tower fell on 18 people, and they died physically. You will all likewise perish spiritually. How do you get that? How do you go from physical to spiritual in that verse? You can't do that. No, you will all likewise perish physically. When are we talking about? We're talking about AD 70. See? You either repent as a nation or as individuals, or you're going to be a part of that AD 70 massacre. Well, take it the other way, that this is spiritual. Once I pointed out to them, or somebody did, they changed it. But they went to another verse just as bad, and we'll talk about that later. But what I'm after, what I was trying to show you all through here is that repentance is of sin to avoid physical, temporal judgment. That's what it's about. Is it necessary? Of course. You can't have fellowship with God without that. But you can have salvation without that, see? Salvation does not involve repentance. You believe on Jesus, you have eternal life. Repent of your sins, and you will have fellowship with that God. Now, you can read along as I remind you of what we set out to do. Biblical repentance is the decision to turn from sin to avoid or bring to an end God's temporal punishment. Therefore, it is in no way a condition for eternal life. Both saved, the people of Nineveh, both saved, that is all of us, I meant to get to the Revelation passage and show that the churches in Revelation, the believers, were told to repent, and we'll get to that next week. But saved need to repent too. But when the saved person is called upon to repent, then repentance will also bring forgiveness of sin. The sin that's in question that you repent of, that is forgiven, and fellowship with God is restored. The unsaved, the repentance will bring no forgiveness of sins. It will stop the temporal punishment from God, but will not bring forgiveness of sin or fellowship with God, unless they believe on Jesus for eternal life, because God doesn't fellowship with anybody who rejects his Son. So that's our start on the things that people like to add to believing for eternal life. And we'll take as long as it takes, folks, because this is very important for us to get this squared away. And then we're going to go out there and tell people about it.